Hello, beloved, and welcome to this weekly Bible study where we are still looking at spiritual warfare of a believer. Can you believe it? We are still busy with it. And this is already part 16. I think it's just because it's such a vast subject that we spend so much time on it, because it is exhaustive. It is a very interesting subject as well. Before we continue, though, let's just have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' precious name. And thank you that we can study this important subject, where we understand that we are, even though we are physical people and we live in a physical world, we know that there's also a spiritual reality. And I pray, Father, please open up our eyes so we can see, and open up our hearts to receive the truth of your word, so that we may apply it to our lives. And at the end of the day, Father, be victorious, even in the spiritual battle. This we pray, not because we deserve anything, but we pray it in the glorious, wonderful name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Right now, last week we looked at the battle that we are engaged in with regards to our flesh. Now, if we look at all the battles that we are engaged in, beloved, obviously I think there are some that are more subtle than others. But in general, it is a spiritual battle that we're in, eh? And we need to be aware of it. We need to be ready for it. We need to be prepared for it all the time, to make sure that we, whenever the battle rages around us, that we can understand, oh, this is a spiritual battle. I can't fight this with carnal means. I've got to fight this spiritually. So I've got to go to the Lord. I've got to go in prayer to the Lord. I've got to quote scripture. You know, that kind of thing. We need to know, when is it a spiritual battle, and when is it just the consequence of our sin? Or when is it a natural outflow of a sinful world? Remember, we're living in a sinful world. And there are certain things that just flows out of the fact that we are living in a broken world. But then, the other side of the coin is true, that we are also in a spiritual battle, because we are just as much involved in a spiritual world. Okay, so we need to be discerning. We need to have the ability, obviously, through God's grace, by God's grace, through the power and the enablement of the Holy Spirit, to be able to discern whether something is a spiritual battle or whether it is just an outflow of the sinful world, sinful, wicked world that we live in. All right, so that we can know, do I fight this battle, spiritually speaking, with spiritual, with spiritual means? Or is this something that I just need to resolve in the sense of just making sure that I continue to live a godly life, and whatever I can do to resolve the issue, I resolve the issue. And I pray that the Lord will really give us wisdom in how to handle these things, because we can so easily handle a spiritual issue physically and a physical issue spiritually. I remember when I was involved in missions, I would have some people come and sit in front of me, and they would really have a concern about their health, for example. And I've had it that somebody sits in front of me that you can see is clearly overweight. The person has been eating far too much, you know, so their body is overweight. Now they come to me for prayer because they would like to have the pain in their legs to be removed. And they are concerned that it could be from the ancestor spirits, you know, that kind of thing. When in fact, it's just a fact they've got to eat less. Okay, they've got to eat healthy food so that they can lose weight. And if they lose weight, there's not going to be so much pressure on their legs, and their legs will feel better. That's just the reality of life. So we've got to be able to discern, when is it spiritual, when is it not. We had a lady in Delmas. She had massive legs, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor couldn't find out what the problem was. And so she came to the tent, and she came and spoke to us. And as we started investigating, we realized, whoa, 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 this is a spiritual battle. This is a spiritual thing. So, by God's grace, we prayed for her. She was delivered from these demonic beings that was attacking her. And it came through the fact that she went to Sangomas that gave her Muti, and then there was others who countered it. It was a big story. But within a short period of time, before the end of that campaign, the swelling of her legs were gone. And we praise the Lord for that. And why was it gone? Because it was spiritual. Right. Others will have to go on a diet because it's physical. All right, so we need to make sure that when we get involved in things, when we look at things that happen in our lives, don't just climb onto the bandwagon and say, oh, this is an attack, you know, a spiritual attack. Because that's not true. We need to be discerning with regards to that. All right, so last week we looked at the battle that we're engaged in with regards to our flesh. And in this Bible study, we are going to look at the spiritual battle that we are engaged in against our enemies. Now remember, we will always have enemies. That's the reality. As long as we serve Christ, as long as we love Christ and do what Christ wants us to do, we will have enemies. Jesus had enemies, and I mean, he's the Son of God. He is the second person of the Trinity. He more loving than Jesus you can get. Obviously, he was outspoken about sin. But Christ was completely loving. He loved people. And he came to save people. He came to lay down his life for people still. Those who were not being saved, they hated Christ. They were his enemies. I mean, the Jewish people cried out, crucify him, while letting a criminal go. You know, that kind of thing. All right, so when it comes to our enemies, we need to understand that our enemies can be used by the devil to attack us. Our enemies can be used by the devil to kind of, where the devil stirs up our enemies against us to try to destroy us or to destroy the work of God, that God is busy, in and through our lives. So once again, discernment is important for us to be able to discern whether the battle that I'm involved in against my enemies, is it just a person that doesn't like my guts? Because you also get that. Is it just a person that doesn't like my kind of personality, and therefore they just don't like me? Okay? Or is this a spiritual battle? This is somebody being used by the devil to attack me. We need to be able to discern these things. Now, in Psalm 38, verse 19 and 20, we read the following. My enemies are vigorous, and they are strong, and those who hate me wrongfully have multiplied. Verse 20. Those also who render evil for good, they are my adversaries, because I follow what is good. Can you see what the psalmist says? He follows good, but his adversaries multiplied, his enemies multiplied. They are against him. And why are they against him? Because he does good. That's what he does. All right? And what these enemies of his does is they render evil for good, which means they exchange evil for good. All right, so that's clearly not, that's not just physical. Nah? It could be, but that's clearly spiritual. All right. Now, David makes the observation that he has many enemies. Nah? And the reason is just before, of course, he follows what is good. And you know what? It's so true. Many times we will realize that someone is our enemy, and it's just because we serve the Lord. And we desire to do his will. Or it could be just because we're outspoken about sin. And people don't want to be confronted with their filthy lifestyles. They don't want to be confronted with their sin. So, there are people that's not going to like you when you speak out against sin. Okay? You see, beloved, the thing is, our enemies will try to make our lives, I call it a living hell. That's what our enemies will do, especially if they are being used by the devil. Now, obviously, just a normal enemy will also give us heartaches and headaches, for sure. But an enemy that is used by the devil is definitely going to give us a lot of flack. We're gonna have a hard time with them. You see, the thing is that the battles with our enemies are real. David says in verse 19, he says, my enemies are vigorous. And then he says, and they are strong. Now, the Hebrew word translated vigorous here in the New King James literally means it's like living or being alive. That's what it means. So the idea that David was trying to share here is this. While David was weak, and apparently he was close to death at that specific stage, his enemies were full of life. Yeah? And they were full of health. And they were strong. And because David was weak, they could take advantage of David. See, David's enemies were able to actively go against him because he was so weak. They could take advantage of the fact that David was weak. In fact, that's normally what enemies do. They take advantage. When we are weak, they will come for us. You see, they will not take you kind of head on when you are strong. No. Our enemies are very, how can I say, much more clever than that. Because they know if they take you on when you are strong, they're going to be beaten up, spiritually speaking. Yeah? But when we are weak, that's when we are vulnerable. And that's when the enemy will normally attack. It's as if our enemy kind of, they save their strength and they save their energy and their power. So we get to the point where we are weak, you know, torn down by all the heartaches and the trials and the things of life, and even the attacks by enemies. So as we are just tired and we become weak, that's when the enemy just steps in and he unleashes an attack on us that normally the motive is to crush us. To destroy us. I remember well, it was during the times that I was weak, especially emotionally weak, or I was spiritually drained, or physically just ill. When I was down, that was when my enemies hit me the hardest. And sometimes it was even Christian people. I remember some years ago I was involved in a ministry, and we were staying in Zozo houses at the back of somebody's yard at that specific stage, and they called us and said there needs to be a meeting. But I mean, we just okay, there's a meeting, so we're going to go. But I'm the leader of the ministry, but they call a meeting without my knowing about it at that specific stage. And I can still remember we go into that meeting with an expectation of okay, we're going to discuss some ministry things and whatever. At the end of the day, that meeting turned out to be a meeting where the people just ganged up against me and they destroyed me emotionally. I remember walking out of that meeting just emotionally drained, emotionally, how can I say, run down. And spiritually, I took a knock as well. Those were people that were supposed to support us in ministry. Those were people who were supposed to stand next to us and where we can sit around the table and say, all right, brothers and sisters, there's a few things that needs to be sorted out. What can we do to resolve these issues? No, they came for me. They wanted to destroy me. You could see it on their faces and you could hear it in their words. Those words were intended to destroy, not to build up. A few years ago, I had the same thing in the church. The purpose of the attacks was not to try to help. The purpose of the attack was to destroy. And beloved, that's what the enemy does. That's what our enemies do. They will destroy Christians. Even if we are upset with someone, even if we disagree with someone, even if we really have a massive disagreement with someone, whether it's on doctrine or whether it's on practicalities or whatever. We can have a major disagreement with someone, but we can still act in love with one another. Why? Because 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love covers all. We should act in love with one another. We should agape love, godly love should rule us, should direct our footsteps. So if we, even if we're in disagreement with a fellow brother or sister, we can sit around the table and discuss it as mature believers in Christ. And I think that's the idea that we find in Scripture, that we are called to love one another, to lay down our lives for one another. Now, obviously, if somebody sinned and there needs to be a rebuke given or discipline done, then do it. That's fine. But do it in love. I think that's the whole idea with regards to correcting someone. But it's not. Our enemies wants to destroy us. And you will experience that the motive behind what is happening here is definitely destruction. The enemy wants to destroy us. All right. So when you are, watch out, especially when you are physically weak or when you are spiritually drained, or when you're emotionally not at a good place, chances are the enemy is going to come for you. Just make sure that you surround yourself with other believers that are strong at that specific stage, that you can counsel, go for and sit down and receive counseling and just get some, some clarity on what is actually going on. And when it's a spiritual attack, that they can pray with you. Okay. Remember that our enemies do not have our well-being as their first priority. Make peace with that. Okay. Now, beloved, we should never forget that our enemies doesn't have our best interest at heart. But we should also not forget that our enemies has a desire. Our enemies have a desire to destroy us. And they will destroy us. If they have any opportunity to destroy us, they will destroy us. Remember that an enemy is not a friend. Okay? That's a fact. Now, the thing that we as believers sometimes forget is the fact that our battle with our enemies are as much a spiritual battle as it's a literal battle. You know? Don't forget that. Make sure that you discern. Ask the Holy Spirit to show you. Ask God, Lord, please, I need to know if this is spiritual or whether this is just emotional or whether this is a physical attack. I pray, please show me. God is faithful. He will show you. All right? That's why we pray. That's why we trust Him. Beloved, our enemies are energized in their hatred towards us. And it's always done because of the devil that's stirring them from behind. Okay, fallen angels that actually hates us more than our enemies do, and they are behind our enemies. They're the ones that stirs up our enemies to at the end of the day to try to destroy us. I kind of think of it this way: behind every one of our enemies, and sometimes even inside some of our enemies, are invisible entities who desire our destruction. Now, beloved, as believers, we need to desire to live in peace. That's what we want to do. We want to live in peace with all people. But unfortunately, that's not always possible. That's not always possible. Because you will always find people that wants to see our destruction. That's just the way it works. Now, as believers, we desire to live in peace. Okay? That's not always true. But what we can do is, we can discern whether a person is just like hostile towards us, but this is not spiritual, it's not a spiritual attack. And then, with love, we can reach out to that person. Use a soft word. And by God's grace, who knows, that enemy can turn into a friend. Especially if it's a believer. Okay. Now, beloved, we might try to live in peace with all people. That's true. But just our message that we bring to the world, to people, is enough to quickly line up a huge gathering of enemies on our doorstep. And they would like to see our destruction. You know, so they want our message silenced. They don't want us to talk about sin. They don't want us to talk about hell. They don't want us to talk about the consequences of their actions. They don't want us to talk about eternal damnation. They don't want us to talk about the wrath of God. They don't want us to talk about the judgment of Christ one day. They don't want us to talk about these things. All right, so they will get upset. They will become our enemies. And sometimes, even if you try to correct a believer and you do it in love, then sometimes believers don't even want to accept a rebuke or a correction of their wrong behavior. So don't be surprised if you accumulate a bunch of enemies just because of the message that you proclaim. All right? Because, I mean, if you tell somebody that lives in sin that God expects holiness, that he expects repentance, I mean, sinners don't want to hear about that. If you share that with someone about the consequences of their sin, they don't like that. They don't want to hear about it. All right? Sinners don't want to be confronted with their sin. Even though we share the good news, the good news of the gospel. I mean, we share that there's forgiveness of sin. Still, the mere fact that sinners are confronted with their unholiness and their sinfulness and their imperfections, it's enough to turn them into our enemies. So don't be surprised when you find out that you have a group of people that are hostile towards you. Now, beloved, we should not have any enemies, that's true. But we can do nothing about it. We should not have enemies, in the sense of, I have enemies because I don't like people. That's wrong. But we will have enemies, people that will not like us. All right, that will be in enmity or live in enmity against us or towards us. Now, when the Philistines captured David, for example, at Gath, this is what he wrote in Psalm 56, verse 2. He says, my enemies would hound me all day, for there are many who fight against me, O Most High. You see, what is beautiful here is David's words when he calls out, O Most High. It's kind of, I see this cry out, oh, this is the reality, Lord, but O Most High, you can come to my rescue. You know, David knew where to go, as he faced the opposition. He knew he could run to God, the Most High. You know, the one that is higher than his enemies. He could run to God at any time. And here in Psalm 56, verse 2, David is telling us that his enemies desire to swallow him. It's as if the effort of his enemies never wants to stop. In fact, it is as if their efforts to swallow David never ceases. It just goes on and on and on and on. It is so exhausting that it's as if David's enemies has unlimited energy to pursue him. A new day doesn't even bring relief to poor David. It's as if he just can't get a moment to breathe. Every day David faced was a day with new opponents, new opposition from his enemies. Absolutely exhausting. And it's in this context that David then cries out, O Most High. He says, whenever I am afraid, in verse 3 he says, I will trust you. See, when the enemy seems to endlessly just oppose David, it makes sense that he would cry out to God, the Most High One. And I mean, he does it when he declares that whenever he's afraid, he will trust in the Lord God Almighty, the Most High God. Oh, it's so beautiful, isn't it? Now, beloved, just like David, we all get to that place where I think the onslaught of our enemies seems to become overwhelming. And that's normally an indication, I think, of demonic attack. Sometimes people are just our enemies in the beginning. You know, they don't like what we say, or they don't like our personalities or something like that. But then Satan takes advantage of that and he starts influencing them. He deceives them and he starts working through them if they are open for Satan to work through them. Now, when we experience now these overwhelming attacks from the devil, or from our enemies, sorry, I think it's then that we can know that God is on high. He's higher than our enemies. We can trust Him. We can always trust Him. And I believe that, like David, we need to run to Him. We need to call on Him. We need to trust Him. We need to trust Him to deliver us from the hands of our enemies. You see, the battle with our enemies are at times above our ability. We can't always handle it. There are times, obviously, that we are strong, spiritually strong. We run to the Lord through prayer and we use the scriptures, you know, in the temptations that we get. But there are times it's just beyond us, right? And because it's a spiritual battle, it's very, very hard just to go on and on and on and on. And that's when I believe we need to run to the Lord. So be sure to run to Him. Call on Him. Trust the Lord. For He alone is able to deliver us. Wow. Amazing, beloved. Now, to David, the battle with his enemies were real. I mean, he experienced a physical attack. He was the king of a nation. Huh? So there was definitely this physical side to David's battles. That's why people hated him. I mean, he was the king. But then also, in the Psalms, we see that he experienced the attacks of his enemies emotionally. Because, I mean, it's an emotional thing. We are emotional beings. And David knew when there was this spiritual element to the battles that he was facing against his enemies. And that's when you see David run to the Lord for help. And he knew that only God is able to help, especially in these spiritual attacks. Because let's face it, some of these attacks can be very, very fierce. Okay, so that's basically it for today. I really hope and pray that these messages, these Bible studies on spiritual warfare helps you to live your Christian life, you know, as a victorious child of God and not under, how can I say, constant attack, not knowing how to handle it. Remember, we have prayer, we have the Word of God, and as we call on the Lord, and call Him to help us, and ask Him to, and we trust in Him as we cry out to Him, and as we use Scripture when the temptations come, beloved, we experience that we are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus, who loved us. May the Lord help us, and enable us, as we fight these battles against our enemies. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much that we can come to you in Jesus' name. And thank you for your loving kindness. Thank you for what you've done for us in Christ. And that we can run to you in our spiritual battles. Oh, Father, please give us victory. Even our physical and our emotional battles. You are our hope. Enable us, Lord, when we are down and out, emotionally drained and spiritually at a bad place at times, Father. Enable us to run to you, please, to trust in you, so that at the end of the day, we can walk in the victory that we have in Christ. As we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, thank you very much for listening. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May His face shine upon you, and may He give you His peace. God willing, until next time, bye-bye.